Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, we continue our study of the Olivet Discourse with Pastor Larry and Noah Hutchings, and we'll have an update on this month's ministry outreach project, Africa Needs Jesus. April is anniversary month. It's our 91st birthday as a ministry and as a daily radio program. Would you give a gift in honor of our anniversary? You can give by visiting our website, swrc.com, or you can call us 1-800-652-1144. Thank you, my friends, for your support of SWRC and Watchmen on the Wall. And friends, don't miss out on any of the important topics and information that is shared here on the program. Subscribe to our free e-newsletter, A Moment of Prophecy. The latest insight and analysis from our speakers and access to our latest resources. Sign up today for the free e-newsletter at swrc.com. Or just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Here's Larry Spargimino and Noah Hutchings with part two of their series, Explaining the Olivet Discourse.
We're being blessed to look at the Olivet Discourse again and bring an update teaching in light of what is happening right now. As reported over international news on the television and the newspapers and everything, we live in exciting days. And Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, I think we actually see them. You know, for the first time in the history of the church, we can actually see these things on television. And he said, when you hear these things, well, we can hear them on the radio. First time I heard radio, I think it was in 1932, we bought a radio and heard Will Rogers on the radio and his daily commentary. Then come back from World War II, and they had these television, little 6-inch television sets. We live in amazing time. And I think those things had to come in order that the prophecies be fulfilled. If we didn't have television or radio, we couldn't fulfill all these prophecies in the Bible. But now we actually see them in the past. Dr. Spargimino, as time ran out yesterday, we were studying about the abomination of desolation. This is quite interesting, and I want to discover some more of this. It says here, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, that's the temple. And as we brought out yesterday, the temple could be rebuilt at any time now. And there are pressures for our own president to force a peace treaty on Israel to divide the land. And we read that in the prophetic word, that is going to happen. It's very close to taking place right now. And we read, let them which be in Judea, that's Jerusalem, flee into the mountains, and let those that are on the housetop and those in the fields not return to take any clothes or even to go back in the house to get a bagel, because sudden destruction is going to come upon them. And don't we read that 2/3 in the land were going to be killed? The land means Israel. And only 1/3 are going to escape. You know, they're trying to make a nuclear clear Middle East area. That's Jerusalem and Arab nations. Jerusalem, I know, has probably 200 atomic weapons. But they want to take those atomic weapons away from Israel and make a peace treaty with Israel. And that's scary, because Israel will be defenseless. And destruction is going to come immediately. And all those in Jerusalem and the area around Jerusalem is going to have to run immediately, or they will be destroyed. They only have a few minutes to run. They're going to have to get in their cars or start running in down the road. They're heading for the mountains. Can't we see that taking place right now?
Well, you know, it's amazing. You spoke about a few minutes. Israel is so tiny. If you look at the distance between Damascus, for example, and Jerusalem, I think probably takes a jet fighter just about 6 minutes to get there. You know, a lot of people think, well, why are the Jews so hyper about what's going on? Well, if you're in a tiny land surrounded by these people who want to destroy you, you'd be hyper about it too. And the fact is that it just takes a few minutes. We all remember the Scud missiles of Saddam Hussein dropping on Jerusalem and these various parts of Israel. So this is exactly the way the scripture has revealed.
Atomic weapon? Wow. And Ahmadinejad says, I'm going to get an atomic weapon and blow Israel off the map. And it doesn't necessarily have to come from Iran. It could come from any place because you have intercontinental atomic missiles now. Submarines out there in the Mediterranean, for example, are carrying atomic missiles. And just a small atomic missile could destroy all of Jerusalem.
You know, our vice president, Mr. Biden, has said something to the effect like, well, we're just going to have to get used to living with a nuclear Iran. Sounds to me like we're not going to do anything about nuclear weapons in Iran. We just have to get used to living with Iran having nuclear missiles. And then you remember Dr. Hutchings recently, our country revealed that we have 5,113 nuclear warheads. And the idea was that, well, if we're transparent with Ahmadinejad and the rest of the world, they're going to be nice to us. And I can't believe that our leaders are so, pardon the word, stupid and so ignorant of what this man has promised to do to wipe Israel off the map as to make a statement like that. And Mrs. Clinton made that statement that, you know, they're going to see our transparency. And you remember what happened to the UN. Mr. Ahmadinejad, instead of saying, oh, yes, that's nice, America is so nice now, what did he say? He said that the United Nations should punish America for our nuclear threat. Well, dear me, you know, we're just about letting everybody know what we've got, when we're going to use it, and we're thinking that this is going to appease this monster, and instead he becomes even more vicious and more aggressive. So, you know, I think we're rushing headlong to this kind of an Armageddon apocalyptic scenario that you've just been talking about.
Yes, we read here in verse 20, that pray your flight be not in winter. Of course, we know that winter, sometimes in Israel, and they sometimes have a foot of snow in winter in Jerusalem, or 15 inches, 18 inches. And they've got to flee somewhere. And I believe, as I bring out of my book, Petra and Israel and Prophecy, that you know, they didn't even, world forgot there was a Petra until about 1860, I think it was. And gradually they've improved the utilities there, the water systems. It's a 30-square-mile city of caves. You know, I was there one time when it rained, and then almost overnight, the floor in Petra was covered with desert lilies, and they were blooming, tulips. It's a rich area. There's a lot of animal life there, and there's caves enough there to easily handle 1 million people. And as I bring out, I believe that that's where they were going to be protected. And we read in many scriptures in the Bible about where that is going to be, and I think it's in Isaiah 62 or 63, where we see the Lord coming back to Basra to lead his people back into Israel. And Basra is a gateway to Petra, just on the north. The name has been changed now to Bethsaida, I believe it is, but it's old Basra. Israel is being hid in a place of caves. We read in many scriptures. We also read in the Psalms, who will lead us into Edom, meaning the old nation of Esau. And Petra was the capital of Esau's kingdom. And here, all at once, when Israel returns to the land, the road system around Petra is being improved, the utilities, the water system. And when I first went to Petra, Dr. Spardamino, there was only one hotel. Now there are 73 hotels in Petra, and it's recently been named one of the seven wonders of the world. And you go to Petra now, there are thousands and thousands of people in Petra from all over the world come to see this marvelous city. So I think that is the city, the place that Israel, the remnant of Israel, one-third. Now, we read that two-thirds are going to be killed, and only one-third will escape. And it's going to be in the area of Judea or Jerusalem and the surrounding area. And we read, but pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Well, winter is hard in Petra because it's on the high mountain range. And neither on the Sabbath. You know, the Yom Kippur War, I think it was in 1973, Israel's enemies launched that war on the Sabbath. Why? Because Jews are not listening to the radio. They're not watching television. They're worshiping in the synagogue, or they're not cooking. They're not traveling. The Orthodox Jews, even secular Jews in Israel today, still observe Saturday as the Sabbath, and they're not paying attention to anything. And here they won't hear the news. They might be destroyed at any minute. So Jesus said, pray that this is not going to happen on the Sabbath day, and there's a reason for that, because it's a sudden destruction coming when they're not going to have time even to go back a prayer shawl, a coat, or even a bagel. They've got to run immediately. And that's only possible now, that sudden destruction can come like that. So it's interesting scripture here, and we see that everything is falling into place to make this happen. Let's continue on, Dr. Sparzimino. Would you read the next few verses there?
In verse 22 of Matthew 24, Jesus says this, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." I think that's a verse right there that we probably want to park on. It's a tremendous verse. You know, Dr. Hutchings, one of the things that stands out in my mind is the phrase, "No flesh be saved." Now, the preterists say that just refers to Jews in Jerusalem at AD 70 or back then. But if you look at the scripture, the terms "no flesh" refer to the totality of humanity. This is speaking about great tribulation over the entire planet in the future, not in AD 70. So here we have God having great mercy. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Speaking about the chosen of Israel, those who are circumcised in their hearts. These are Jews who love God, who have accepted their Savior, who have repented of their sins. God is going to have special favor upon them, and He's going to be making good on His covenant promises.
You know, I think that means that if the tribulation or the Great Tribulation went further in time than 7 years, or 3.5 years, the last half, that everyone in the world would be killed. Because something is going to have to happen to stop this war of extermination that is going to take place in the last half of the tribulation. Not only the Jews are going to have to be saved, but there's going to have to be a remnant of the entire human race, or there'll be nothing for them to go into the kingdom age. If the tribulation was longer than 7 years, then there would no flesh be left on earth. That's a horrible thought, isn't it?
I think even in this time of tribulation on earth, we see the mercy of God. You know, a lot of times we think, well, the tribulation period is a time of wrath and justice, and it is. But the fact is, we were speaking the other day that there are 144,000 who go out and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, and then that people from all over the earth come and worship the Lord. You know, one of the great and wonderful truths of the Word of God is that God's mercy is real even during this period of time. And I think you're absolutely right. Verse 22 speaks about no flesh being saved. If that period were not being cut short, the entire population of planet Earth would be wiped out. Can you imagine the nuclear wars, the seas turning to blood? What an awful thing. No fish, no food. Wars and wars and wars. Everyone being destroyed. But God's not going to have that because he's going to step in. That's why we're told that this period is a period of 7 years and no longer.
Dr. Spartamino, would you read the remaining verses in this particular section here? That's verses 23 through 28.
Verse 23 says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." And here we go again with this theme, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Verse 25, "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." That's in verse 28.
Yes, evidently in this time, they're going to be looking, the world is going to be looking for someone to save them. The whole world, especially Israel. Josephus records that during the time that Israel was under siege, or Jerusalem was under siege by the Romans, that there was continual hope, because some would go through the city and say, "Oh, the Messiah is coming. God is sending the Messiah." And some would say that, "Oh, I saw the Messiah. He's coming to save us." Well, it wasn't true, because they crucified the Messiah, and he was setting up in heaven, so he couldn't save them. They were looking for the wrong Messiah. They were looking for a false Christ, and there were false prophets going about. Well, that's the same way it's going to be in the last half of the tribulation, that the world is going to look for the wrong Messiah, for the wrong Christ, and false prophets evidently are going to be abundant in those days. And some will say, well, he's in the desert, or he's in a secret chamber, maybe in Petra. Of course, the Jews are going to be in Petra, but he's not going to be there. And we read in verse 27, "For as the lightning coming out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." A lightning flash, you're not deceived by a bolt of lightning, because you see this huge flash coming out and it strikes a tree maybe in your own neighborhood and hear all this thunder and bluster and following the flash. Well, you know what that is. So there's not going to be any excuse for the world not knowing when Jesus comes. Well, read that every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him, meaning Israel. And we read in Revelation 19 about the coming of Jesus Christ, don't we?
We absolutely do. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, it speaks about Jesus coming in his kingdom glory. And my, Dr. Hutchings, what a contrast with the first coming. Jesus came as a little baby. He came vulnerable. He was raised by Mary and by Joseph, who, of course, was not his biological father. Completely vulnerable, lived on this earth more than 30 years, put on Calvary's cross, but he's coming a second time. And he's not coming as a baby. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And, of course, we know the purpose of that is that he's going to destroy the Antichrist, put down all evil, and bring in his kingdom. Revelation 20, 1 through 6, speaking about a period of 1,000 years, when all of the promises that God has given to Israel will be completely fulfilled. Israel will be in the land. They will be renewed. The dry bones will come to life, as we read in Ezekiel 36 and 37. Every promise will be absolutely and perfectly fulfilled. That day is coming, even though it's very hard for us to believe, but we know it's real and true because the Word of God has testify to it. You know, Dr. Hutchings, one of the things I love about prophecy, there are basically two kinds of prophecy. There's fulfilled prophecy, such as the virgin birth, for example, and there is unfulfilled prophecy. Now, all of this is unfulfilled, but we know that because of prophecies like the virgin birth that have already taken place, Isaiah 7:14, and that since these prophecies have been literally fulfilled and we can look back and we can see that every jot and tittle has come to pass, there has been perfect fulfillment, then we know we can extrapolate into the future that just as these fulfilled prophecies have taken place exactly, then we can have confidence that that which remains to be fulfilled in the future, guess what? It will happen also exactly as the prophetic word has testified.
Yes. I wonder what the thought of people are today who see all these things coming, and yet they have no promise, no hope. I can't imagine what it would be like today to not have the blessed hope. We read in Revelation 11 that Jesus is not coming back to destroy the world, but to save the world from those who would destroy it. If you don't know Jesus, if you have not received him as your personal Savior, we would encourage you that today is the day of salvation.
For the past 2 days, we've been listening to a classic series explaining the Olivet Discourse that was first aired in 2010. The complete series is available on CD. Call 1-800-652-1144 and order your copy today. 1-800-652-1144. And if you'd like to dig deeper into the Olivet Discourse, let me recommend David Weber's book entitled Parables of the Olivet Discourse. These parables focus on the anticipated return of the Lord to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth, signifying the core theme of the Olivet Discourse. The chapters featured in this book include the parable of the fig tree, the parable of the one taken and the one left, the days of Noah, the parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and the parable of the goats and sheep. Order your copy of David Weber's Parables of the Olivet Discourse today. Call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Now, here's Josh Davis with an exciting update on this month's Africa Needs Jesus mission outreach.
This is anniversary month for SWRC, and since April of 1933, we have been proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ across the airwaves, all across America, and we're grateful to partner with TWR as we take the good news of Jesus Christ to Africa through the form of the Africa Needs Jesus campaign. I'm excited to be joined in studio with John Somerville, the TWR Director of Radio Partnerships. John, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Africa Needs Jesus campaign?
Well, Transworld Radio has been broadcasting the gospel around the world in 200 languages for, well, since 1954, 70 years now. God has blessed this ministry in so many ways and put us strategically in so many locations where people wouldn't be able to hear the gospel any other way. Places like Iran, North Korea, Cuba, places that would not be able to hear God's word, but yet God has allowed us to broadcast into areas like that. But one of the areas that we love to talk about is an area where God's word is going in and making such an impact, and that is the continent of Africa. And right now, we are distributing wind-up radios to people in Africa. Now, you're probably asking yourself, now, why a wind-up radio? Well, because electricity sometimes is impossible to get, or batteries might be very, very expensive. We want to put in the hands of people a wind-up radio, something that is so self-contained that all they have to do is wind it up and hear God's word by turning it on. Simple, simple, simple. That's what we love. You know, God's word is simple. This radio is simple. And we want to make sure that we are bringing the simple word of God to people all around Africa. Josh, let me share a story with you.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
I love how colorful the descriptions are when people from Africa write to us. This came to us on a WhatsApp message. She says, I'm 16 years old, and I've committed as many sins as there are cars stuck in traffic in our capital city. Isn't that so descriptive?
It is. That's vivid.
Yeah. And then she goes on to say, is there forgiveness for me? I've been listening to TWR. Let me ask, the stories I hear over the radio, can God do for me what he did for the people in the Bible stories?
Mm.
Amen. Yes, he can. He can do that. That's why we serve a God, a powerful God, full of grace, full of mercy. When you're asking for forgiveness, God is going to respond. He wants a repentant heart. And people need to know that. People
yes.
all across Africa need to know that same truth that you treasure in your heart. So would you give them a radio? Would you supply a radio, $50, or maybe two radios at $100? Maybe you could do 10 radios. Maybe you could do 20 radios. Maybe you could do 100 radios.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how much this is going to make an impact on somebody. Because we know where God's word goes, it doesn't return void. We know that God's word is sharper than any two-edged what?
Sword.
That's yes. right. That's right. And so let's go ahead and make sure that that sword is there to reach into their heart, to reach in and cut that bone, that cut that marrow. And we can do that right now with your gift. A $50 radio can be had at AfricaNeedsJesus.com. AfricaNeedsJesus.com. I love to say Africa needs Jesus, but Africa needs you. Because if without your gift, how are we going to get those radios into people's hands? Africa needs Jesus. Africa needs you. Our website again, AfricaNeedsJesus.com. So easy to remember. If you'd like to do it the old-fashioned way, I always love picking up the phone because I love talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I love talking to people on the other end. Our phone folks are some of the nicest you're going to talk to. And you can locate them at 888-777-1875. Let me give that phone number to you again. 888-777-1875. Each radio is only $50. How many lives, how many families, how many generations do you want to impact with your gifts?
Friends, would you prayerfully consider what you might be able to give in support of this wonderful ministry? And we want to see this ministry continue to expand and unfold even more as the years roll on. Thank you so much for prayerfully considering how you can partner to bring the gospel to Africa in this Africa Needs Jesus campaign.
Today's featured resource is David Weber's book, Parables of the Olivet Discourse. Inside these pages, David Weber presents a collection of teachings on the parables of the Olivet Discourse. These parables focus on the anticipated return of the Lord to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. Order your copy of Parables of the Olivet Discourse when you call 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we'll learn how to be prepared for the coming economic storm. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by visiting oneplace.com or by subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.